There are so many moments that make up a year. The big moments and milestones, birthdays, anniversaries, when Shan came to the clawfist. And then there are the small moments, the slow morning spent making a decadent breakfast, running to a grocery store to get 9 lemons to put in a bowl. All of these moments come together to create our year and in the end, create our life. Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. Whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, display favorite memories in your home, or connect with loved ones throughout the year, BCC Shan, they have a product you can personalize. Artifact Uprising is a Colorado-based company that creates premium quality, customizable photo goods for your digital photos. I just ordered a few photo books with Artifact Uprising, a hardcover travel photo book in this gorge shade of Pacific blue, which is perfect for the credenza in my living room, devoted to my first ever trip to Paris, and a photo book in midnight blue, one for myself and for my family. Moments from my childhood, my parents spending time together, it is going to be the perfect gift for Tobes and Chard. This is something incredibly special that will keep us connected. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story. Through the end of the year, AGs can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you've purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code AndySgirls through December 31. Much like Jennifer Aiden on her last appearance on Watch What Happens Live, and I do mean last, when it comes to summer, I need to keep hydrated, and that's why I love Fiji water. Jen's thirst might not ever be quenched, but with Fiji water, mine always is. Fiji water is Earth's finest water. Unlike the other two top premium bottled water brands, Fiji water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji water has more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving it its signature soft, smooth taste. And that's why Fiji water is the number one premium imported bottled water brand in the U.S. And P.S., Fiji water has a perfectly balanced 7.7 pH. Get stocked up on Fiji water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today. Alexis Bellino, imagine how much better her season could have gone if she had just simply quenched that thirst. And my recommendation? It's not just water, it's Fiji water. It's Andy's Girls. It's a mid-pneumonia spectacular, also known as episode 590, whatever. And I'm still going through it, but I am slowly getting my voice back. And I do also just want to say apologies to those AGs, myself included, who have misophonia or just a huge visceral reaction when you hear like cough drops and things on audio or eating or drinking or anything like that. I really stay away from that seemingly entirely on episodes because I know how disorienting it can be. And also the only way that I'm going to be able to record this, in addition surely to coughing every 20 seconds, is to have a cough drop in my throat. So I just wanted to open with that. If it's going to be triggering, upsetting, unnerving, trust me when I say I am there with you. But I also just wanted to record this quick episode. So I have not been watching Housewives while I have been in the fetal position, not napping. I guess they call it resting without actually sleeping for the past week plus. And apologies in advance for a cough now and again. I just stopped for 2 seconds to cough for what I think was about 3 days. So I haven't been watching Housewives while I've been sick, but because I really wanted to be able to react to episodes after watching them, and without being able to talk, that would make things difficult. So, inspired by the fact that I'm finally technically getting back out there, getting back on the horse, I recorded a Patreon episode in response to everything that's happened today relating to rumors about Love Hotel and Shannon, which is out now. But I just really thought to myself, okay, listen, this might be a little funky, little funky times, but we are going to attempt to record a actual mini episode, Famous Last Words, as any AG knows. So I did start to catch up. So I'm watching episodes, then recording, then watching episodes. So I'm an episode behind in Salt Lake City, which is probably the easiest thing to catch up on because it's just a self-contained masterpiece, which I look forward to hopefully watching tomorrow. I'm recording this super late for me, Sunday night, NyQuil hour. And so I am two episodes behind in Orange County. So I just watched last week's episode, the one that ended with the seemingly infamous go fuck John four more times or whatever Emily said, an iconic exit if there ever was one. And so after recording this, I will tomorrow, my guess is, watch the most recent Orange County, which means I'll then be able to watch Tamara's Watch What Happens. And seeing as that has garnered a response from Jim Bellino's attorney, who Ryan says he hired to serve her something, or FedEx messenger pigeon over a cease and desist or something else, he got himself not one, but two apologies on Instagram as she addressed some of her comments. So I am fascinated and curious to catch up on all of that. But I did just want to briefly, because the coughing is taking over, I did just want to kind of briefly share some thoughts on the episode that I just watched, which the name of which couldn't even tell you, but second to most recent Orange County app. So there we are. I found it really fascinating. First off, I just thought the focus on how these women are addressing different stages in parenting and trying to kind of learn, adjust from their experiences and potential traumas as children, as adults, without doing too much of a course correction so that their kids don't learn independence, was fascinating. Like, I genuinely thought what Emily was saying about how she is trying to parent her daughter and trying to like overcompensate with time and care and attention that she did not receive, didn't feel like she received as a child, and trying to figure out, well, then how do you also say no? And also, these kids are growing up with so much privilege that how do you instill independence? How do you instill drive in a person who is, you know, a young child, a young adult, trying to figure out who they are, what they have access to? I find that layer of Housewives, when we really get into the parenting of it all, to be so fascinating as someone who doesn't have kids, but like most people in the world, experienced some shit as a child and had that inform my own thinking of whether or not I wanted to have children. I mean, that scene with Tamara and Katie and their kids, where they're getting into Katie's daughter and her responses to a guy who had expressed an interest in her and then said negative things to her, and her saying, you know, I essentially go fuck yourself or whatever, however she communicated it, because she didn't want someone to speak to her negatively. On its face, teaching a young woman that she deserves more and deserves basic respect from someone who could be a future, you know, romantic connection or friend or whatever else, is important. But also, when you look right under there, which Katie did in her confessional and said, a lot of this is informed by trauma. A lot of this is informed by her experiences with an absentee parent who did not treat her well and did not treat her kindly. And is this how she
is this behavior going to be connected to how she views all men? And then hearing from Tamra's daughter and her conversation around, at this point, a decision that she does not want to get married, potentially doesn't want to have kids, and how that was informed by what she experienced as a child of divorce, whose parents still seemingly have are incapable of co-parenting when their kids are adults. I mean, the story kind of continues. I found that really interesting. And I thought the way they threaded like Sophia's experiences and opinions with Tamra's quasi-explanations and then Katie and her daughter, I just thought that was really nuanced, interesting, as complicated as you wanted to possibly see it. And so I was really appreciative and didn't want to gloss over that or ignore it, because that to me is at the absolute center of a lot of housewives discussion. When we talk about these women and having families, what does that actually mean? And when you look at someone, it's like the idea of someone identifying, of course, if you identify as a mother, how important that role is to you, but also what you've experienced as the daughter before that, as the wife or ex-wife potentially prior to that, during that. All of the different identities that a person is trying to juggle at once, and how one experience informs another. I find it fascinating. So I was really, really appreciative for it. And also, there was some other shit that happened. And I feel like, you know, it came up at the beginning of the episode, obviously ended the episode, this frustration, hurt, anger, confusion between Emily and Heather. I don't know how it's going to be handled at the reunion. I really don't. And I think if there was, well, actually, we still do technically have the rest of the season. So there's the possibility for it to be handled, discussed more in some way, but I don't think anything productive is going to happen unless it happens between Emily and Heather alone. Because I think the Heather Dubrow's reactions during that scene caught me off guard. I have to be honest. I was like, it feels like she's cold. It feels like she's dismissive. She genuinely might be surprised. Like, I'm not taking that away, but I think Heather was both confused and maybe felt under attack, and as such sort of removed herself from her soul and was like, I'm going to keep this at a distance. So it's when someone says, oh, you seem really upset, where I'm thinking, do you? Like, are you really identifying my upset, or are you taking six steps back because you don't want to be blamed for any of this? Like, how engaged are you in being able to process my hurt without being defensive? That's kind of an impossible question on its face, especially if you are filming for a reality TV show, where my guess is, Inception style, you're thinking to myself, this person seems to be blaming me for something that I don't understand. And I'm also maybe thinking to myself, how is this going to be reflected to the audience? Am I the bad one here? And Heather Dubrow was not alone at that table. Tamra did not understand what was happening, and or just genuinely didn't agree with it. I felt like her reactions and Heather's were similar. And I think the problem here and how it was kind of posed during Watch What Happens was muddy to me. It was like a little muddled. It wasn't the cleanest take, which I understand, because so much of this conversation around Emily's vulnerability and fear of how Heather might be judging her or viewing her seems to be based around this fashion show and based around intent. That Heather in some way intended for her to be seen as a quote unquote, in Emily's words, big girl. And I don't, as Emily herself said during the episode, she didn't think it was intentional, but I think some of this got clouded by like Tamra's shitty person confessional of saying, well, Heather would never intentionally try to humiliate or body shame someone, but I would, which I know she's going for the joke here, but I'm also like, yeah, you probably would because you kind of fucking suck. But I honestly felt for Heather in the sense that I don't think she entirely understood what was happening. And I think she maybe was genuinely so defensive that she couldn't understand what Emily was communicating. And also the problem here is that Heather is representative for this designer. And I think some of the conversation here probably wasn't entirely Heather's responsibility, but Heather's the person in the cast. Also, it was her event. IPS just went to Susan Bender's website to look up this dress in question because the conversation around sizing was interesting to me. When it comes to like these runway events versus day-to-day, it gets very, very complicated because I think through Emily's reaction, also through the eyes of the audience, and I could imagine someone sitting at home watching that scene of Emily trying to communicate at the beginning of the episode her feelings to Jen and Katie, and Jen laughing when Emily saying something about size 12, and Jen thinking that Emily is using that sizing as an LOL. And I thought to myself, that's not great. It's not to talk about a specific size and assign it the idea of a punchline while it was a gut instinct kind of reaction, one that I don't begrudge Jen for. It's just this kind of environment around women and also a very specific type of woman. And I think it can be incredibly difficult joining housewives and being someone who is not naturally a smaller size, because I think she is those people, those housewives, and few and far between, might I add, out of what, 150 total housewives, probably more. I don't even remember how many there are at this point. If you look at the treatment of how women's bodies are used, weaponized, ridiculed by their cast members, by the audience, by the edit, there is not a great history of how Housewives deals with body types that do not fit a certain Housewives, and I'm using that in quotes, like Housewives as in Real Housewives, standard. It's just not there. It's just not a good history. It's just not great. Adding on to that, so you're entering this kind of arena where often women, just because of the sake of society, am I right? Women are often criticized for their weight. I mean, it's that Barbie monologue that went viral for a reason. A woman can never be too big or too small. And also how a woman talks about her weight, a woman who wants to gain or lose weight, the conversations around that, there is no possible way to win. People are criticized. People are taunted. People are told that their interest in possibly changing their body is unacceptable or something that should be penalized, or remaining a certain body type is unacceptable or should be penalized. There's no way out of this. It is in and of itself a trap. And I don't blame individual women for that. Like, I'm not blaming Jen Padronti for not understanding that Emily is being literal when she's talking about sizing, and also that that size is not a punchline. Like, that women are size 12. And I think Jen gets it too. I don't want to pull too much out of what was a small moment, but I also kind of do, because I think it's kind of emblematic of a lot that's going on here below the lines. And it gets really difficult. Emily is allowed to want to lose weight. Emily is allowed to lose weight. Emily did so in what we are told and what I certainly believe is a safe, healthy manner. Emily's focus on fitness and focus on, like, I have to do this. This is regimented. My success of the day is seemingly based on whether I do X and Y, whether I eat A or B, is something that we've watched her talk about with Shane and having that conversation around, is there a way to find a happy medium? How do I identify who I am as a person based on how I look and how I'm physically behaving? Is something that a lot of people struggle with. And I'm really thankful that Emily has opened up in this way, because this world meeting the housewives universe can be so fucking critical and horrifying to women, including bi women, not just women, but certainly including women, that for someone to kind of open up and share that, like, this thing means a lot to me and people might not understand it. People might not understand why I'm really upset at feeling like I was isolated and othered at this fashion show, but I was, and I'm going to talk about it. I appreciate that. I really genuinely do. And there is something to be said for Emily's vulnerability in feeling like Heather looks at her as a big girl. And the way that she views herself, the way that she has viewed her body journey, her weight loss journey, she's dealing with a lot and she doesn't feel recognized. And that's kind of a difficult thing to be doing, because if a person loses weight, there's really kind of no way to know how and why that has happened. And unfortunately, we grow up in this system where you might say to a friend or someone that you're close to or not, you know, like, oh, you look great, dot, dot, dot. You look like you've lost weight, which is a very loaded kind of problematic statement meant really well. Meant to be a compliment, meant to be something that might encourage someone, but there's no way truly to know how that person's weight has been lost and whether or not it's associated with health. It could have happened as a result of unsafe practices. It could have happened as a result of stress. It could have happened as a result of different challenges relating to health. Like, there's any number of reasons why. When you're giving someone a compliment, ideally you're not using weight as an identifier unless that person brings it up and says, you know what, I'm feeling great and I've done X and Y and lost X pounds. And then you can have a conversation with your friend. That's just my two shekels. People have every right to be like, fuck that, like, truly up to the individual and what they've experienced in their life. So I think when Emily's talking about Heather seeming to be unaware of her progress, I could understand, not even devil's advocate style, but a little bit of a gray area in, like, how to navigate congratulating someone, quote unquote, on their weight loss or on their fitness journey, and maybe not knowing how to go about that conversation, which is not to say that Heather couldn't also be credibly accused of ignoring Emily or seeing and stereotyping Emily as a certain type, or not for Emily to say she does not acknowledge me, she does not acknowledge essentially who I am, and does not acknowledge the work that I have done on myself. I completely understand it. I 100% absolutely fully understand it. The size 12 of it all is difficult because I, again, understand Emily's perspective. When it comes to measurements for a fashion show, I don't know if she sent in her measurements and that lined up with the size and fit for that designer. And anybody knows who shops at one designer versus another, that if you go into J. Crew, for example, you may well have a very, very different size chart going in J. Crew than you might going into Anthropology, than you might going into Urban Outfitters, and you might going into specific designers at Macy's or Saks. Different designers have different sizes and fits. And what it can be really challenging when you're dealing with any kind of, like, body vulnerability that can be associated with feeling, again, quote unquote, big, is that can be really triggering. If you are saying to yourself, well, I have lost weight, I used to be this size, now I am that one, why are you telling me I am X when I really know that I'm Z? That can be really, really genuinely very upsetting and difficult to kind of process. And also, if this designer is going off of a specific chart, that number, the number sent for measurements, may be associated with a specific size. Heather loses me entirely when she gives that confessional toward the latter end of the episode. Then I thought to myself, oh, you can truly go fuck off, because you have to have a certain level of like compassion and willing to maybe dance in the gray if you have not had Emily's experience in order to be able to listen to it and not entirely negate it. You have to have enough of a trust in Emily, in your friendship, maybe in filming, maybe in yourself to recognize I have not had this person's experience. I cannot really identify with it. I might not agree with it, with some reality behind it, but I'm going to try to understand it now. And the way that Heather behaved in a manner that was so fucking literal, as if to say, well, she's talking about feeling too, again, quote unquote, talking about feeling too, quote unquote, big, but the dress we put her in was too tight, so she can't be saying she was smaller than the dress size, is so fakakta, as Toby Gowling would say, according to the Tobes. It's so out of this world. It's also, I think, going directly toward Emily's argument that you're not listening to her and you're saying things that are so dismissive and demeaning. That was something that I had heard in some way had been referenced on an episode because I haven't been able to watch eps, but I've been on social. So I remember going to Heather's Instagram after her Watch What Happens post, and I saw one of the comments was like, the dress wasn't too tight. And I thought that person was talking about Heather's dress on Watch What Happens, and like maybe Heather talked about, oh, I wasn't sure if I felt comfortable in this dress. So I honestly didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, this is someone like actually encouraging Heather. And then I heard a little bit about this clip without actually seeing it and seeing the context. And I was like at 1,000. If the anger core measurement chart thing is between 1 and 10, I was at 68 because I just thought to myself, you stupid bitch. Why would you say something like that if any kind of storyline or anything has to deal with Emily's weight loss journey, her journey feeling like trying to feel like herself, her journey feeling othered? And when she's talking about feeling othered physically within the cast, I'm also adding on, just as a little asterisk in my like my little pointy ears going up, that the audience does that too. And so I just thought to myself, what a shitty fucking thing to say when someone's opening up. And I do want to give Heather some grace here, even though I think she was prepped for that conversation to come. Because if you look at that, the look in her eyes, I don't entirely buy that this was new. Although maybe it wasn't new because she knew that Emily was off that night. She had asked Emily, are you okay? She knew that something was not great. And so maybe she was thinking to herself, this might come up, and she was prepared. But also, what a shitty thing to say to a woman, about a woman rather. You know she's going to see it. Maybe that's unfair of me to say because we don't want these women constantly thinking, well, my co-star is going to see this in 6 months, so I shouldn't say that shitty thing, because what would we have? We would have like 3 sentences and a moan. Like, we wouldn't have a lot of housewives to watch. Confessionals wouldn't exist unless you're Tamara, who's like inspired by, you know, the pain and uses it as purpose. I just really thought to myself, like, that is such a shitty thing to see. And the way she seems so reasonable saying it in the context of the episode, I'm like, I get you're trying to fact check this, but I don't love it. Like, at a certain point, shut the fuck up. As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And like many people, the conversation about saving and investing can feel really complicated, and for me personally, often feels like it's out of reach. Like, I'm joining a conversation in the middle of it. I'm not quite sure really how to start, which is why I am so thankful for Acorns. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change, BCC, PK, and Dorit. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. That's perfect for me and my life.
I want to make positive change, but so often it's hard to figure out where to begin. Acorns does that work. I always felt like in order to start investing, I needed to have one big lump sum, but Acorns takes away that kind of stress. It's small, important changes that you can make in your life for your future. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, you can build your own perfect clothes with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I am so thankful to Armoire because I was in a genuine pickle last weekend. I was rushing to New Jersey, shout out NJ, the Garden State, not hunting for new housewives, but going to a friend's baby shower, and I had literally nothing to wear. So thank goodness for Armoire. I opened my bag from Armoire, grabbed this beautiful, bright lime green Sachin and Bobby midi dress, and it fit like a glove, and it saved me all of that extra stress. There are so many benefits to Armoire. You always have something new to wear without the hassle and closet clutter. It's sustainable. You no longer have to feel bad about only wearing an outfit once, and Armoire is women-founded and women-led. Right now, AGs can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/andyscrolls. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/andyscrolls to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And you know who else is? My dear, close, personal best friend and also deity, Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo is actually the reason that Google launched Google Images because of that infamous Versace dress. And she's still, 20 years later, more sought after than ever before. With skin like hers, it's not a surprise. Love don't cost it a thing. But I don't want to continue to wait for tonight. Whoa. And thanks to JLo Beauty, we can glow right along with her. Get that JLo glow for yourself with JLo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. And much like my dear best friend, Jen, I absolutely agree. My personal favorite is JLo's Limitless Glow face mask. It is so soothing, easy to apply, cleansed my skin, had the mask on, and truly was having a spa night at home. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for listeners of Andy Scrolls. Head to jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. That's jlobeauty.com/andyscrolls. And I did go, I forget if I said this, so apologies, pneumonia brain, but I went to Susan Bender's website and that dress is sized up to a size 18. So when it comes to being a size 12, I did want to clarify that her sizing is inclusive up to size 18 for that dress, which also, P.S., retails for $395. Yowza. I guess that's the cost of a Ferragamo on sale, right? According to Dubrow. So that's just a Starbucks for Heather D. She's like, you know, Lord, that's, you could get coffee or a $400 dress. And it looks like a great dress. I mean, honestly, I thought Emily looked fantastic in it, but it doesn't matter how I feel. What matters is how Emily feels. And I think that's a thing too, that can get really kind of disorienting in all of this, is like when the feedback is, well, you look great, that's not necessarily meant, hopefully, to negate a person's experience, unless it is. Unless it's someone being like,
I don't understand what you're talking about because I think you looked lovely in that. So I'm going to say that your truth doesn't matter, or I'm going to say that your truth shouldn't live. And that can be kind of a tough situation. I do also need to cut in, I guess, cut in with myself. What's happening? And say that Alexis's involvement. Alexis actually had me for a couple minutes this episode when she was talking about feeling overwhelmed, her mom dying, which really I think hasn't come up, but she's also a friend of, so we're not getting a whole look at her life. But when she was talking about going through her broken engagement with whomever that guy was before and dealing with the loss of her mom, which is ground shifting, foundation changing, and dealing with the stress of this lawsuit, I understood a feeling of overwhelm. I genuinely did. And when she said something along the lines of like, oh God, what did she say? It was something along the lines of like, I don't know how to get out of it. Where I thought to myself, well, on a previous episode, I think she told us that she encouraged Johnny J off camera to end or settle the lawsuit. And he said, absolutely not. But I would say that if you're dealing with a lot of challenges and this is adding unnecessary stress to your life, instead of the whole like, I need to support my partner, think of it in the other way. Like, hey, I'm also a partner. What's this guy doing for me? And maybe have a conversation with Johnny J. Fucks a Lot and say, can you please settle your lawsuit? Not because of how much you hate Shan, but because of how much you love me. But I don't know that John has capacity for it. But honestly, if he doesn't, that's a learning lesson for this guy. I know that Alexis has decided she's in love with, this is pre-engagement, has decided she's in love with this man. So she's like stuck with his idiosyncrasies or whatever. But that doesn't mean you are not allowed to have a voice here. And also, as Gina said, incredibly appropriately, when I'm dealing with a lot of stresses in my life with like Travis and his ex and everything else. And I run away from the fire in that way. And this isn't getting into like abandonment, but it is saying that I don't lean in to the chaos. I'm not leaning in looking for additional problems. I don't want to add that stress to my life, which I was like, yes, that is exactly it. Alexis is upset about the legal battle. But number one, how is that Shannon's fault when she's under attack by this guy? And number two, why are you moving ever closer to this instead of backing up? Because this is not an unsolvable problem. The issue, I think, for Alexis and certainly for John is that this could be resolved at any stage. They just don't want it to. Like the beginning of the episode, the conversation between Shannon and her lawyer about a conversation between John's lawyer and Shannon's lawyer. John needs some sort of insurance policy in case Shannon goes off the rails, which is a wild statement, I think, to say. I appreciated Emily's confessional with the extortion pickle of it all. But I think the additional pickle here is like the idea of the extortion of John needs some sort of insurance policy in case Shannon ... continues doing her job. Like, what's the action here? It's not to say extortion is ever great, but if the ... is unless Shannon picks up that shoe that's fallen to the floor, you have identified an action and identified the consequence of that. Again, not agreeing with a threat, but this gray area of if Shannon criticizes John in any way, he's going to use the threat of videos that may or may not exist and may or may not exist what John and Alexis are hinting that they do against her for the rest of her life. It's like in case she says anything bad with no expiration date is a wild way to exert control and power and punishment. So noting that, what Emily is saying with the reasons why she felt uncomfortable, one of those reasons was because of being identified as someone who is wearing a size 12 dress. Another thing was that she was the only person asked to wear jeans. Now, you've lost me entirely if you are the designer at the idea that she's the only person being asked to wear jeans. I don't understand it. I don't understand why she was. I'm entirely on the side of like that actually to me does not make sense. Unless the sparkly skirt we saw and the black pants that other people were wearing, and I think maybe there was another black skirt, like unless those weren't the designer's items, which I think that they were, I don't understand why Emily was asked to wear jeans. Unless you're trying to say because we wanted you to stand out, which nobody is saying. And also, were they not a light wash? So like, how does this make sense? And if you know, Heather might not get it, but she knows Emily. So why would there be a suggestion? And why would you not feel partially responsible? You're not the designer, but this is your event. If this person is saying, I felt othered, I felt like I had been designated as the big girl, and for some reason you didn't have sizing that fit me. Like, I don't understand the jeans. And Heather's response, well, you know, some girls went 2 times and you went 3. Emily is saying, yeah, I get that. I understand that. Excuse me. And I understand it too. But also, like, if the third time is wearing shit from her closet, what's the point for the third time? And why don't you have things that fit her? And why is she wearing the same dress as Alexis? I actually don't understand that. There's something about, and again, she looked beautiful, as did Alexis. Everybody was a pretty girl. Everybody looked great. But I understand how a person who already feels like they're not being seen where they are now, and they just want a little reassurance. They just want a little encouragement, or regardless of that, they need a friend to listen to them and attempt to want to understand. There's a difference between understanding and wanting to understand. Does Heather Dubrow want to understand? I don't know that she does. And do I get that because she feels like she's under attack? Sure. But also, is she being a dick in her confessional, backing up everything Emily is saying about her insecurities and vulnerability? 100% she fucking is. Yeah. Yeah, bitch. Like, sorry. Not great. So there's the size 12. There's the wearing jeans. Was asked to bring her own pants. Wasn't wearing the designer's clothing at that point. Again, you want a gold star if you're Heather Dubrow for asking her to go a third time. But if she's not wearing the designer's fucking clothing, what's the point of that? It's 2.5. You don't even get the third pass. You're at like 2.75. Like, what the fuck is that? And then also, what Emily said, which was, spoiler alert, a compliment, was, I did not feel great because I had this other person, a friend, whatever, colleague, friend of, wearing the same dress. And I did not feel like myself, and I felt too big. And Alexis's response to that, because she's, I don't want to say a moron, but slow on the uptake on some of this, is, you're making fun of me and this is my fault. The look in Jen Pedranti's face, a woman with so much more patience than I will ever have, being like, no, sweetie, what she's saying is, she's saying that she feels like she was considered too big for the designer's clothing. And you are over here in a quote unquote size 2. And if we're having a conversation about weight and big and small, what she's saying is that you seemingly fit more of the designer's aesthetic than Emily did. And Alexis genuinely, like truly running with that repeatedly. Minutes earlier, watching the scene, thought, you know what? I actually understand some of what Alexis is saying. Lost me entirely. Once again, that was kind of the theme of like, I get some of this. And then losing me 1000% with the, how is this my fault? Why are you making fun of me? I don't understand what she doesn't understand about this that other women also understand. If you come in looking for a problem, you're going to find one. The difficulty of being Alexis right now is not only does she have a problem, she's looking for them way too fucking much. So she's going to walk in every scene and say, I'm the victim. And there might be a percentage there of truth of maybe people are looking for a reason to attack her. But also, if you walk into a room deciding you're going to be attacked, guess what, sweetie? Like, visualization matters. She read The Secret before filming that scene. And guess how the scene ended? Go fuck Johnny J 4 more times. Because he can't do it well once. So he has to keep trying. Never give up. Lord. It was a fascinating episode. It really was. I was fascinated by it. I really genuinely was. So, I mean, I know that there's other stuff that happened or whatever, but those were the points that were really kind of coming to me. And I am curious as to how this is going to get settled. Heather's vibe on Watch What Happens didn't make me feel like it was going to go great with Emily, but we'll kind of wait and see. And in the meantime, I've really genuinely appreciated what Emily was communicating. You may not understand it. You may not agree with it. You may not love the way it was communicated, which was certainly with a lot of heightened emotion. But I also think it was really raw. And this is something that I think whether or not you would have maybe behaved in the same manner, I just felt a lot of appreciation for her sharing this because it's something that I think a lot of women in that cast may not understand. But some of them will be willing to listen and support her. And that I hope to see at the reunion. I think Katie gets it, but Katie also has an ulterior motive. And also Katie's reactions to Heather's reactions at that Jenga throwdown or whatever the hell was funny. Because Katie's like, am I right? When Heather was saying things that felt a little ignorant, Katie's face of like, see, this is what I'm talking about. I know this lady. This is who I met. That was a delight. So, you know, to be continued. Listen, another 3-minute episode. I am going to edit out the big moments of coughing so you can consider yourself fortunate for not listening to all of those. And thank you for your patience with the ones that I missed. And thanks to all of you for sending lovely thoughts on Instagram as I have been laying in the fetal position, just getting through it. It's the first person on planet Earth to ever have pneumonia. Let me tell you what, I'm a survivor. So anyway, join the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes like that episode that went up now, talking all things oy vey, Shannon, social media that happened earlier today on Instagram. And also I posted about it on Instagram, which you can see at Dame Galley. And thanks again for listening to this episode. Hopefully the gravel-esque undertones of my voice were not entirely grating. And if they were, you know, listen, you get to appreciate when it's not like this. So that's nice. I am looking forward to catching up more on Orange County, and Tamara's Watch What Happens is going to be my next stop. So I'm excited to unpack it on an upcoming episode. In the meantime, thanks for listening to this one, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.